with communication links with the father and mother of the race who had walked with God, they observed, classified, and grouped and designated these starry worlds, assigning them their names, marking their courses, and making them bearers of wisdom, the dearest and most precious ever known to man. And we don't have to start with scratch, because the most ancient knowledge this world has ever seen, indeed some say the alphabet started at the same time, back beyond the furthest reaches of known history, both the heathen and those that the Scripture says became the custodians of God's truth, had a common source. It is obvious, because they had the same symbols, the same names, the same designations. The most ancient of knowledge, astronomy. Now, anyone attentively observing the stars will observe that some are brighter than others. Scripture says, one star differeth from another star in glory. Some stars hold their places from age to age with variations so slight as scarcely to be observable in 1,000 years. Some of them are, quote, wandering stars, changing places continually, going and returning at fixed intervals. The Bible uses this phenomenon in its description, in one description of sin. Some stars are nestled together in particular groups, or stand alone in special glory to be easily distinguished. By means of these facts, some of them brighter, some of them not so bright, some of them wandering and coming to fixed places, some of them in clusters, some standing alone, you can map the heavens. They're not just unmeaning, not a boundless, trackless wilderness of luminous orbs. As man can find his way through an intricate musical composition, through a great poem, through a sublime oration, through plans and ideas of the most complicated specimen of mechanism or architecture, man and men with more time to do it, closer proximity to God, mapped it already for us. Satan moved into the territory and bent it out of shape. The heavens can be read like a clock face. And it's been done. Somewhere in the earliest ages of human existence, the stars were named and arranged into groups. Those names and groupings were at the same time, and I'll tell you something, all that modern astronomy has done is confuse the issue. The centuries of the 48 constellations unchanged have been messed up with everybody trying to get their name in lights by introducing something. From the oldest time, early man, guided by God, saw the benchmarks. Somewhere in the early ages of human existence, the stars were named and arranged into groups by someone thoroughly familiar, able to describe them like somebody who knows his house. We're able to, I read you the history of those that went to the pyramid, remember? We were able to see them, correct their errors and discover passages they didn't know were there, sections above the king's chamber. Until we get better spaceships than we now have, you can't explore the heavens the way you can explore the pyramid. But somebody, way before anybody knows when, laid it out. Who knew? Who was that? Oh, there's evidence in the book of Jubilees, there's evidence in the writings of Josephus, there's evidence in the writings of Enoch, a hint in the book of Genesis. All of them agree it was a descendant of Seth that gave to the world astronomy. There's a lot of suggestion that that was Enoch's bailiwick. Now, he just may have built the pyramid. Because the pyramid sure as heck knew about astronomy. Those names and groupings, done sometime in the early ages of human existence, were at the same time included in certain figures, natural or imaginary, but intensely symbolic and significant. Those names and figures have since been perpetuated in all the astronomic records of the ages and nations since. Astronomers growl at them, consider them arbitrary and unnatural. There's no way you can look up in the heavens and there will be a comet flying between stars that will draw the picture of Leo. You can stare, your eyeballs fall out, and you're in danger of biting them or walking on them. You will never see a comet connect the stars and draw those beautiful Gemini twins. You won't even see him draw the serpent. These monsters. The centaur. You know that half horse, half man? You will never see it drawn. Well, where did that come from, by the way? Astronomers growl at them, consider them arbitrary and unnatural, sometimes denounce them as cumbrous, puerile, confusing, but have never been able to brush them off or to substitute anything better or more convenient in their place. They are part of the common and universal language of astronomical science. They have place and representation in all the almanacs of all enlightened people. They're in all the books and records devoted to descriptions of the heavens. Faith and skepticism, piety and irreligion alike adopt and use them. Revelation and pagan superstition both recognize them. Heathen, Mohammedans, they should be called Islamic, Christians, the oldest with the latest, disagreeing on everything else, agree on adopting these primitive notations of stars. Why? Even those who have the most fault to find with those monstrous creatures that are drawn on heavenly maps couldn't get on without them and still employ them. In and from these, the showing is that all the great doctrines of the Christian faith were known, believed, cherished, and recorded in the earliest generations of our race. That those monsters speak the message of the gospel. That the glory of God was written in the heavens from the beginning. As may sound strange. Well, let's see. Go to Job 26. Verse 13. We looked at Genesis 1:14. Let me tell you something. Job was written before Genesis was written. Job is possibly the oldest, most probably oldest book of the Bible. Job and God getting a lot of conversations. Forget his boils for a moment. Get up in the skies with him. Job says in the 13th verse of the 26th chapter concerning God, by his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. Good choice of words, by the way, an almost perfect translation. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. Now, if you're going to garnish something, you make it look good, don't you? Don't just read the Bible through in 82. Don't even read it through in 92. Stop long enough to see the incongruities. Now, just go garnish your plate right now. We're going to serve a big feast. All of you now, you go decorate the head table. Garnish the plate. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. And stick a snake under the plate. That's not poetry, my friends. You can't find a more incongruous or incongruous combination. It's like hot and cold water. His Spirit hath garnished the heavens. His hand formed the crooked serpent. He's talking about that constellation. Why, when he's garnishing the heavens with beauty, does he put a snake in it? And there's no question what Job says. God laid it all out. He didn't just create. God, talking back to Job later, is going to ask him where he was when Pleiades was formed, or the Pleiades, or Orion. In the book of Job, the oldest book of the Bible, God Himself is recognizing and giving His sanction to the names of those constellations that predate the book of Job. The gospel story is written in the stars, is pictorial. The record is accompanied with explanatory material, but the chief substance is given in pictures. Now, every atlas of the heavens is filled up with figures and outlines of men, women, animals, monsters, and other objects, including a certain set of stars. These stars, as thus designated and embraced, constitute so many separate clusters or groups called the constellations. And these asterisms or constellations cover all the principal stars visible to the naked eyes. You don't need a telescope to know this. In primeval astronomy, the number of these figures or star groups was 48. In imitation of them, dozens more have been added, mostly by modern philosophers. Modern people have added the sextant, the giraffe, the fox, the goose, the horned horse, the fly, the greyhound, the lynx, the bird of paradise, Noah's dove, the clock, the sculptor's workshop, the painter's easel, and the air pump, the Sobieski shield, the Brandenburg scepter, and a bunch of other prattle. They just designate inferior stars and confuse the issue. They have no connection whatever with the primitive constellation. The primary and chief series of the old 48 constellations is formed on the line which the sun seems to mark in the progress of the year. Now, we're going around the sun. You know that, don't you? And as we go around the sun, as we go around that sun, in addition, we are put ourselves in a band or a sphere that's around us. And wherever the earth may be, you sight through that sun and you're going to hit, if you put a band around us, you're going to hit a section of that band, and you divide that band into 12 parts. And you have the zodiacal year, because as we go here and sight in on the sun, we hit another section of this band in the stars that's a limited band all around us. You go a little further and sight through the sun, you hit another section of that band that's around us. I think I've got some books here with some pictures. It's pretty hard to get good pictures of this. Let me see if I got one. It'll show you this band. It's elementary to some people. Here it is. There's a good picture, one of the better ones. Now, here we are. Let me see if I can get a pencil. Stay with this whole page. There you go. Now, here's the sun. And we're going around the sun. At any given time, in that band as we go around the sun, you look at sunrise when the stars are fading and the sun is coming up, you will be looking at a different section of this band of the heavens that surrounds us. So when the earth is here and you look at the sun at a given time during the day, you will be shooting into Pisces. You look this way, you're going to be shooting into the crab. Or at another section, when the earth is here, you'll shoot into Scorpio here. Or here, if the sun is right, the earth is right here in its scale, I'm doing it backwards, so let me start all over again because I'm looking upside down. I'm shooting from the sun through the earth. But if you shoot from the earth through the sun, when the earth is over here, the lineup is right into Libra, the scales. Where's the lion? Here's the ram over here. When the earth is there, or when the earth is here, you shoot through the sun right at sunrise, and the sky that's disappearing is going to be the ram. Here's the lion. So if the sun is, if the earth is over here on its orbit, you'll be looking right at Leo the lion. Now in this orbit around the sun, over the 12 months of the year, at a given time during the day, forgetting the precession of the equinoxes for the moment, you will look at a given time through the sunrise, you will be looking into this belt of the heavenlies that appears as the sun appears to go past us, appears to go around us. Now, they set up the astrological charts on these various times. And by the way, if Jesus was born before September 23rd, he was a Virgo, the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, to not dangle you, but jump way ahead, the mystery of the Sphinx in relationship to the pyramid can only be understood when you understand the gospel of the stars. Because in the Sphinx you have the head of a woman, starting with the Virgin, and the body of a lion, and the proper sequence of this circle that is never ending, it appears as a circle, must begin in the fall with Virgo and end with Leo. And to go light years ahead of where we are going to go in this study of the gospel and the stars, God said in the heavens the message that begins with the Virgin and ends with the Lion. And the prophetic history of the gospel flows through the zodiac, which is an ancient word that simply means what New Testament Christianity was called, the Way. And the Way through the zodiac unfolds the glory of God. These 12, while the sun is making an annual course from west to east through the center of this belt or zone, forgetting the moon for the moment, there are 12 equal steps or stages in the sun's path as it makes its annual circuit through the heavens. This belt or zone is called the zodiac from the primitive root zoad, a walk, way, or going by steps like Jacob's ladder. Each of these steps, stages, or sections include a certain number of fixed stars, making up a group or constellation which has its own particular figure, picture, or sign to designate it. Hence the 12 signs of the zodiac, given in all regular almanacs, to which people have gone off the deep end in some astrological extremes. These signs are in this order: Virgo, the Virgin. The figure is that of a young woman lying prostrate with an ear of wheat in one hand and a branch in the other. Remember that. The second sign is Libra, the scales. The figure of a pair of balances with one end of the beam up and the other down is in the act of weighing. Pictures are worth a thousand words. If I can find them here. Here's Virgo. I have better pictures of her in black and white. Right over here. Let me just show you this one. Here she is, with a picture you'll find on astrological charts. Stay right there, that's good enough, just focus it. You'll see the seed of grain here in one hand, and the branch in the other hand, and she's lying prostrate. Libra, the scales, the figure of a pair of balances with one end of the beam up and the other down, as in the act of weighing. See if I can find one of that. This is for radio. I want all these pictures for radio. Well, I can show it in the other picture I showed you, and maybe that's where it should stay. Here's Libra with the scales. Scorpio, the scorpion, the figure of a gigantic, noxious, and deadly insect with its tail and sting uplifted in anger as if striking. The fourth one is Sagittarius, the bowman. I'm not going to talk down to you. You all know this. I'm going to race. Five, Capricornus, the goat. Figure of a goat sinking down as in death with the hinder part of its body terminating in the vigorous tail of a fish. Six, the Aquarius, the waterman, the figure of a man with a large urn pouring out the contents in a great stream from the sky. Pisces, the fishes, figures of two large fishes in the act of swimming, one to the northward, the other with the ecliptic movement of the earth around the sun. Eight, Aries, the ram. Nine, Taurus, the bull. 10, Gemini, the twins. 11, Cancer, the crab. And 12, Leo, the lion. These 12 cardinal signs cover a large part of the visible heavens as the year progresses. Skipping over the mansions of the moon, so we get the basic alphabet, these 12 great signs do not stand alone. Each one of them has conjoined with it, either on the north or the south side. As we go around this belt, you will view the constellations at a given time. But each one of these, either on the north or the south of it, has conjoined with it three other conspicuous constellations called decans, from the Shemite or Sethite, or the Hebrew root language word, dek, which means a part or a piece. It's evidently from the Noetic or Shemitic deka, to break. Hence, dekan, a piece or a division. We have dek in Daniel 2:45, and it's the basis of our English word, decks of a ship, which divide. These decans, three of them, go with each constellation. Abu-Mazer, sometimes called Abu-Mashr, a great Arab physician and astronomer who lived about 1,000 years ago and whose minute and learned writings on the subject have been commented on by Ibn Ezra, the great Hebraic scholar, refers to the decans and their houses according to the Persians. Here follow the decans, he says, which the Arabs in their language call faces. There are three to each sign of the way. He says the Indians had these decans tied to each sign. In short, each and every ancient culture recognized the 12 major constellations with three decans or associated constellations, 36 of these subordinate decans tied three each to each zodiacal section with the major constellations, so four in each of the 12, a total of 48. What are the decans of each of the 12 we've named? Well, the decans of Virgo include Coma the infant, the branch, the desired one it's called. The prostrate woman is suddenly on her feet with the babe on her lap. The prostituted, distorted, caricatured worship of the Mother of God image in the Semiramis Babylonian distortion of the truth, taken out of context, but it's there. the decans of Virgo are Coma the infant, Centaurus, a centaur with a dart piercing a victim, and Bootes, or Arcturus, the great shepherd and harvester, holding a rod and sickle and walking forth before his flocks, erroneously called bears. Here's a picture of Coma the desired. Can you zoom in on that and get your color a bit better? I've got to give the people backstage a chance to work on their color, because when we go from ordinary filming to this white, it's tough. The next decan, Centaurus, stay up here close. See if I can find it. Here we are, the Centaur. You've all seen these on astrological charts. Bootes, the shepherd of his flock, erroneously called something else. And what have these to do with the gospel? Now let me quickly read the others, just quickly. The decans of Libra are the cross, the victim of the centaur, and the crown. The decans of Scorpio, the serpent, Ophiuchus wrestling with a serpent, and Hercules wounded in his heel. The decans of Sagittarius, Lyra, the eagle, holding the lyre, Era, the altar, and Draco, the dragon. How about the decans of Leo? Hydra, the fleeing serpent, Crater, the cup or bowl of wrath, and Corvus, the raven or crow. I'm going to show you that this is the gospel from the beginning, but those on satellite and on channel 9 got to wait a week.